Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
We are here to talk about an issue of basic justice, the restoration of civil rights. This is an issue that I have been passionate about for many, many years. I personally believe in the power of second chances and in the dignity and worth of every single human being. We conducted a thorough review of the individuals who had their voter registrations canceled because of the court decision. I'm proud to announce that last week, I approve the restoration of rights of nearly 13,000 of these men and women. We will conduct a thorough review of each individual, checking the records with the state police, the Department of Corrections, the State Compensation Board, and the Departments of Juvenile Justice, Criminal Justice Services, and Behavioral Health and Developmental Services. If that review concludes that the individuals meet my criteria and are no longer incarcerated or under active supervision, my staff will bring those records to me and make a recommendation.
Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. We are also on Facebook. If you want to watch me and you're near a computer, just go to facebook.com/MarkLevineTalk and you can watch the show. I'm still working out all the Facebook details for those of you on Facebook, trying to get it so that we are beginning at the right time and you don't have to fast forward 5 minutes. So excuse me as I still work out those details, but I'm really glad to be with you. That, of course, was Governor Terry McAuliffe, my governor in the Commonwealth of Virginia, who announced that he is allowing 200,000 ex-felons in the Commonwealth to vote. Now, the states look at this issue differently, state to state, but only four states of the country, Virginia being one of them, do not automatically allow ex-felons to vote once they serve their sentences. And Terry McAuliffe is basically wiping the books clean. The governor has the power to give the ex-felon the right to vote again, and he's saying, we're just going to give them to everyone. And this is something supported by about two-thirds of Virginians. The question is, why has he done it? Why does Governor Terry McAuliffe, a Democrat, why does he want to allow people who serve their time to vote? And also the Republican side. The Republicans are very, very much against this. They're very opposed to having people who've served their time actually go and vote. But they disagree on another front. Republicans want ex-felons to be armed. They want them to have easy access to weapons. What does it say? And I really want to explore the philosophy here. What does it say about Democratic principles and Republican principles? That we want people who've committed violent crimes yet serve their time to be able to vote. But Republicans don't want them to vote, but do want them to be armed. Well, let me explain. Prior to the Civil War, actually, there was no clear guide in the Constitution about whether or not people who served crimes, who committed crimes, could vote or not. There was no clear guidance on it. And what's interesting is that the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which is the amendment that establishes equal protection under the law. It's the amendment that came right after the Civil War. In getting rid of the three-fifths clause, this is the clause that was in the original Constitution that said that when you're counting the people in a jurisdiction to see representation in the House of Representatives, you count whites as one, you count other persons, excluding Native Americans not taxed, excluding Indians not taxed. Very complicated. But basically, you count blacks as three-fifths of a person. You count slaves as three-fifths of a person. Free people count as one, slaves, three-fifths. This is the infamous three-fifths clause. The South, even though it didn't want to let blacks vote, didn't want their slaves to vote, did want them to be counted as representation. You see, the South, when it came to freedoms, wanted their slaves treated as property with no rights. No rights of speech, certainly no rights of due process, no constitutional rights whatsoever. They were just property. But when it came to seeing how many congressmen would come from the slave states versus the free states, the South said, well, they should be counted for that. They are people, after all. They're not people when we want to keep them as slaves, but they are people when we want to count them to get representation. And the North said, no, you're treating them as slaves. You can't count them. So they had this great compromise. Finally, the North said, we'll give you half. And the South said, three-fifths. And so in the original Constitution of the United States, there is the infamous three-fifths clause, where the slaves, who had no right to vote, no right to much of anything, were still counted as three-fifths in order to determine the representation of the South and the North in Congress. Well, after the Civil War, the winning Union Army decided to not only free the slaves with the Emancipation Proclamation, thank you, President Lincoln, but also to give them the right to vote. Indeed, the 13th Amendment freed them. The 15th Amendment gave them the right to vote. The 14th Amendment, this is the amendment that gives equal protection under the laws, declares everyone born in the United States to be a citizen, and basically gets rid of the three-fifths clause. Says everybody counts because everybody votes, everybody counts. In essence, it gave the South more representation, but their slaves, former slaves, could vote. In that same Constitution, that same 14th Amendment, is a very obscure provision that was designed to help the South rejoin the North, to rejoin the Union. It said that you had to count free people, but you could exclude people who had committed crimes, including the crime of rebellion against the United States. Now, you know what that's for. That's designed to say, all right, South, we may let your blacks vote, but we're not going to let your whites vote, the ones who joined the Confederacy. We're certainly not going to let their representation be counted in Congress. And it was a great way for the North to punish the South for separating from the Union. But it doesn't only say rebellion. It says or other crimes. And this is the provision that allows states, if they want to take criminals, ex-criminals, and remove them from the voting rolls. Now think about the sweet irony that this provision, designed to punish former white slaveholders and non-slaveholders who joined the Confederacy, who joined a rebellion against the United States, this exact same constitutional provision was used for 100 years under Jim Crow, and frankly, into today, right here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, to deny a lot of black people, descendants of slaves, the right to vote. Because it says if you've committed a crime, you can be removed from the voting rolls. Now, the vast majority of states allow someone who served their time to come back and vote. Most states, actually, do not allow someone serving their time to vote while in jail. Although some states allow that, by the way. But the vast majority of states say, okay, you're serving 2 years for what you did wrong. Now that you're coming out of jail, you can vote again. But primarily southern states want to make it really difficult. And the idea is that many ex-felons, certainly not all, not even a majority, but a substantial number of people who've served their time are African American. Black people vote for Democrats in general, and therefore Republicans don't want to let blacks vote. Now, it's a weird principle because it's not going to say that. It's the same reason why Republicans have a hard time explaining why they don't want the District of Columbia to have representation in Congress. The truth is, the District of Columbia is, I think, over 50% still African-American, and blacks tend to vote for Democrats, and Republicans don't want two senators and a congressman to be a Democrat. So they can give you all this rhetoric about how the District of Columbia is the seat of government and somehow the people there should not have representation in Congress, which might have made sense in the 1790s, certainly doesn't make sense today. But the truth is, it's political power, raw political power. They don't want blacks to vote. So when Governor Terry McAuliffe of Virginia decided to allow ex-felons to vote, well, the first thing Republicans said is, aha, you just want to increase the voting rolls to elect Hillary Clinton. And, well, Terry McAuliffe said, well, no, I think everyone should have a right to vote. The people who've served their time should have a right to vote. Now, the answer is it may well both be true, right? Sure, he'd love to prop up the voting rolls for Democrats, but it's also a matter of principle. If you have served your time and you got your freedom back, well, shouldn't you be allowed to exercise that most powerful freedom, that most important freedom, the right to vote? We'll get back to that. At the same time, again, right here in Virginia, and many of you know I serve as a Virginia state delegate, I've been working hard to keep people who have committed violent felonies from having access to a gun, from being armed. And the same Republicans that fervently argue that someone who's committed a crime, a felony, should not have the right to vote, will tell you that we do think you should be able to legally sell that person a gun. Now, under federal, that's what they say. Under federal law, a felon can't buy a gun. But guess what? You can still sell him one. Does that make sense? Not really. It's what we call the background check loophole. And the way it works is simple. If you go to a gun store, they have to run a background check. And if you're an ex-felon, you can't get a gun. But you can walk into a gun store in Virginia, walk right out, and turn around and sell that gun to somebody in the street or in an alley legally without asking them any questions. Now, you might say, well, why would the person buy from you right outside the gun store when they could walk in the gun store themselves? Well, we know the answer. They probably can't buy from the gun store themselves because they're probably an ex-felon or they're mentally ill or there's some other reason why they're barred from owning a gun. Maybe they have been convicted of beating their wife. So that's why they buy them outside the gun store. And Republicans want that to be legal. Again, I propose saying if you have committed a violent crime, if you committed a violent crime with a gun, we could just restrict it. I was willing to compromise. If you commit a violent crime with a gun, it should be illegal to sell that person a gun. But the law is you don't have to run a background check. You don't have to ask any questions. And weirdly enough, very few violent felons say, hey, I'm a violent felon, don't sell me a gun, in the middle of a gun sale. So I wanted to make the background check system available for all private sales in Virginia. Republicans said no. They said no. Felons have a Second Amendment right to have a gun, even though it's already against federal law. So my question for this hour is exploring Democratic and Republican philosophies, liberal conservative philosophies. Why it is that liberals want people who serve their time to vote, and Republicans want people who've committed the, including some awful crimes, small crimes or big crimes, want them to be able to get arms. What does it say about our respective parties, about our respective philosophies, that our goal is to have these people participate in the electoral system, and Republicans' goal is to make sure that they are armed? Why would we feel that way? I want to ask you that question and see what your answers are, and I'll give you my own when we come back. Toll-free number, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Talking about why Democrats want people who serve their time to be able to vote. Why Republicans want people who serve their time not to be able to vote. They're against their right to vote. But they do want them to have easy access to guns. I want you to think about it this way. Democrats are communitarians. They care about the community. They care about all of us as a community, as a nation, as a country, as a group of people. It takes a village to raise a child, Hillary Clinton always tells us. In a community, you want everyone to have a voice, including people who've made mistakes, including people who have gone to prison. And after serving their time, should be able to rejoin the community. We want to help them get a job. We want to help them vote. But we don't necessarily want them to have guns. These are people who have not just made a mistake, but in some cases have made a violent mistake, in some cases a violent mistake with guns. We will trust them to cast a vote. After all, it's a small, maybe 1% of the vote count. They'll get their voice in, but they won't control everything. There's not much you can do. I mean, a vote gives you a voice, but not the voice. But a gun can give you the voice. A gun can give you a chance to snuff out a person's life. It can be the deciding vote. It can be the end of someone's life. We're fine with ex-felons getting a job and getting a vote, but not having a gun. We don't believe that that is a right of theirs. That is something that you're going to have to earn back. And we're, you know, I can trust you with a vote, but not necessarily with a gun. That's the liberal point of view. The conservative point of view is exactly the opposite. And that one's, I have to admit, a lot harder to understand. You could argue it's purely partisan. Republicans think that ex-felons are Democrats and therefore are going to vote for the Democrats. They don't want them to vote. And sometimes they make the argument you forfeit your rights forever and so forth. But if they don't want them to vote, why do they want it to be so easy to arm them? Why are they against background checks? Again, you can say, well, they're paid off by the NRA, which gives them a lot of money, and that's certainly true. But why philosophically will conservatives be opposed to letting an ex-felon vote? In some ways, opposed to giving an ex-felon a job. Remember, we Democrats are trying to find ways to help ex-felons get a job in the community, whereas Republicans support efforts like the box on the application form to keep them from getting a job. But they still want them to get arms. And I think the reason for that is because Republicans put themselves not in the place of the arms buyer, but the arms seller. They want to be able to make a profit if they ever want to sell their gun, and they don't really care that it goes to someone who might be armed and dangerous. At the end of the day, Republicans are all about individualism. They don't give a damn about the community. And that's why I think they want to make sure that felons can be armed. I want you to think about that. I want to know if you agree or disagree with my theory. Toll-free number, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Back after this.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Trying to take an issue that's been in the news and boil it down to philosophy. Why it is that Democrats sincerely want people who've committed crimes but served their time, ex-felons, to be able to vote and to be able to get a job. We know that our governor, my governor, your governor if you live in Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, has worked hard because Virginia is one of only 4 states in the United States to not automatically give back someone their voting rights when they've served their time. And Terry McAuliffe has run the board. He said, you know what, all 200,000, you don't have to apply individually. I'm going to let you all register to vote. Now, Republicans say that's just a way to increase Democratic votes for the election. I don't know that it'll be that effective. After all, I don't know how many of these people are actually going to register and how many are going to vote. And sure, as a Democrat, I like to see more Democrats vote. But I think there's an overriding principle here. I think when you serve your time, you should be able to rejoin society. You should be able to vote. I also think and know, and I'm proud of my hometown, my city of Alexandria. We have some of the lowest recidivism rate in Virginia. Now, recidivism is the rate at which criminals recommit crimes. And in other parts of Virginia, you find other parts in the nation that some 80% of people who leave prison, commit a crime, go right back to prison. In Alexandria, we've managed to keep that rate under 40%. And the reason is because we work very hard to make sure that ex-felons get jobs, can vote again, can see that there is a right way to live in society, that you can make it without committing a crime. And I'm very proud of that. I think it's part of the liberal sensibility of Alexandria. That's our beliefs. But we don't think that it should be necessarily easy for you to get a gun. You served your time. We get that. But still, if you've, particularly if you've committed a violent crime, we're uneasy about making it easy for you to get a gun again. And I'm okay with that. Conservatives, of course, are the flip side. They don't want ex-felons to vote. They don't even want ex-felons to have an easy way to get a job. We, for example, we Democrats, on the application form, we say don't ask whether someone's a felon on the application form. You can ask them in the interview, but give the person a chance to come in and make their pitch and hopefully get a job. Republicans say, put on the interview form, weed them out, don't hire ex-felons, which I think leads them to say, well, the only way I can do anything is to go back to a life of crime. We disagree on that, too. But when it comes to arms, conservatives disagree. They say if a felon, someone who's committed a violent gun crime, wants to go out and buy a gun, it should be legal to sell them one. It's not legal for them to buy, but who cares? They're criminals. They'll buy anyway. It should be legal to sell them one. Just don't do it in a gun store. The background check loophole. Why is it that Republicans do not want ex-felons to get a job or to vote, but they're happy to arm them? That's my question today. If you have an answer, let me know at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. And I'm going to begin with a resident of Virginia, the state I'm talking about, my home state. Ishmael, welcome to the show.
Greeting, my fellow Virginian.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. You're absolutely right. Well, mostly the felons they need is a job, something to go back to. They don't need a gun. And in Alexandria, that approach is really a good idea. The other thing also, Republicans don't care about really restoring anybody's right, because if you remember, everybody decided to go to Iraq because to free people so they can have the right to vote, but you cannot do that in here where people just got out of prison and they want a chance to be able to vote. It just doesn't make no sense.
Yeah, well, I don't think Iraq was about the right to vote. I think Iraq was about certain oil fields that opened up for a certain friends of George W. Bush. Remember, Dick Cheney ran an oil company. So that may have been their rhetoric, but I don't think that's what it was about. And, of course, Iraq now is a terrible, horrible place with warring factions and ISIS and really horrible there. So I don't buy that rhetoric from the Republicans at all. But as you say, it begins here at home. And yeah, right here at home, when we can give people who serve their time a second chance, Republicans absolutely don't want to give them that second chance, although they do want to arm them.
And that's not what they need. I mean, they need jobs. They need the ability to be able to do to earn a living. You know, and I guarantee you, if you decided to ask anybody who come out of prison, do you want a job or you want a gun? They're going to say, I want a job. Because,
well, sure.
I mean,
and what are they going to do with that gun? I mean, are they going to use the gun in a job, or are they going to use the gun to commit another crime? I mean, it's a very weird notion, and I think, again, it has to do with the Republicans' notion of individual trumps the community, and the Democratic notion of it takes a village, that we as a community, we want you to be a part of the community, but we don't want you to attack the community. Whereas Republicans are like, nope, the individual, we don't want to let you vote, but we do want to give you a gun.
Absolutely, and you got to give a lot of credit to Terry McAuliffe. I mean, that's really, because I know even when he was running, that's what he wanted, some of the things that he talked about that he will try to address, and he really came through with it, and you got to give him a lot of credit for that.
I really do, and I got to tell you, it was an easy thing to do. I mean, he's gotten, obviously the Republicans are very, very angry at him for it, but interestingly, there was a Washington Post poll taken just this week that shows that 61% of Virginians agree with the decision, and only 34% oppose. So what's interesting is that Virginians as a whole, maybe not the Republicans, but as a Commonwealth, we actually are pretty forgiving, almost by a 2-to-1 ratio. We think you've served your time. You should have a right to vote. Hey, Ishmael, where are you calling from in Virginia, if you don't mind my asking?
I'm calling from Manassas, Virginia.
From Manassas. Terrific. Yep. Up here in Northern Virginia. So how did you find out about the show? Through Facebook or some other way?
Well, it was through Facebook, but I listen to Leslie Marshall a lot. I used to live in New Mexico.
Okay.
And I know every now and then you fill in, and today I'm off, so I decided to jump into the conversation.
Well, thank you for listening in. I always love when my fellow Virginians listen in. And one more request for you, Ishmael. I know you're going to vote in November 2016, and I'm pretty sure you're going to vote for Hillary.
Yep.
We need you to remember, you probably already do, in Virginia we have elections every single year. We need you in 2017 so that when Terry McAuliffe leaves office, we have a Democrat to replace him. So please don't forget to vote then. It's not just for you.
You got it.
For anyone in Virginia.
You got
Thanks
it,
for your call, Ishmael.
You
Appreciate it. Let's go next to Helen in Ithaca, New York, on line two. Hey, Helen, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon. Good, Mark. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I am happy to state that I live in a state where we do allow people who have been released from prison and completed their parole, they can vote. But a lot of times when they're leaving the prison, they're not instructed. And remember, you have the right to vote. Make sure you register. So I've registered lots of people to vote. I should have put my initials on some of these.
Good for you.
Registration.
Including some ex-felons.
Gone to like the Red Cross shelter and stuff, and I said, and some of these people have lived in different states, and they go, I can't vote because I'm a convicted felon. I said, no, in New York State, you can vote, and you can use the Red Cross shelter as your address. And the guy like started crying and hugging me and stuff.
Aww.
And anyhow, but I had people like in their 30s, 40s, and 50s who have never voted before in their life. Where I used to go, I'd go to like a bus stop. The reason I'm saying this is, we have an election coming up. I'm sure you're aware of
that. I've heard that.
And and every state has different laws. There's places where you can vote. You can register to vote at the day of election. Most places you cannot. But if you need to register to vote X amount of days before the general election, and so that is when like got it. If you wanted to help other people register who might not be aware of it. Or even yourself, if anyone's listening who's not registered to vote, just register to vote. And I'm sure
it's really easy
happy.
To do. It's really easy to do. And I'm working hard to register some new voters in my community as well. But also, if you've moved recently, a lot of times people forget to re-register. Even if you've moved, say, within New York or within Virginia, you might be in a different district and you probably won't be allowed to vote given your old address. It's so easy to do. First of all, virtually every post office in the United States has voter registration forms. Number two, if you have access to the internet, and most of us do, it's very easy. Just type vote registration New York or New Mexico or California, Oregon, wherever you are. And but do it now. Don't do it like do it as soon as this show is over. Do it while I'm speaking. I don't care. Because if you forget and it gets to be October, many, many states won't let you register after mid-October, including Virginia. So do it now.
If there's a lot of young people around where you live and they're students, they might have just moved to go to a school or something, and they've got to register to vote, and they're not thinking of that right now because they're thinking about, I got to, study, and I got to,
Well, you can also vote absentee. So what I did, I'm originally from Tennessee. And I went to Harvard, which is in Massachusetts, but I wanted to vote in Tennessee, which in those days, that's how old I am, was still a swing state. Not so much anymore. But rather than voting in Massachusetts, I voted absentee, which you can do. My residence was with my parents in Nashville. I was living during the school year up in Massachusetts, but I voted absentee. And again, all of this information is on the internet. It's really easy to do. And just go ahead and do it. Now, what's interesting to me, Helen, when you talked about the man who you said you could vote at the Red Cross and had tears in his eyes, I remember when I lived in California in the late 1990s, and I was working I think, on Bill Clinton's reelection campaign. I've been working for Clinton reelection elections for a while. And a man walked into our California office, and he was a homeless man. And we asked him if he was registered to vote, and he said he wasn't. And we said, well, hang on, we want to register you to vote. He said, you can't be done. I said, no, give us a chance. Let us do it. And he's like, well, I would love to vote. And I remember, and I think it's easier now, but in 1996, calling the voter registration office, people there, talking to them. It was not during normal office hours, trying to find the right person, trying to give this man an address where he could vote. And I'm sorry to say that after trying for about an hour and not succeeding, the guy just left. And it kind of broke my heart. Because
the Board of Elections.
Go ahead.
The Board of Elections works, too. I mean, that's where we in New York State, would call for information at the Board of Elections.
Right. Well, as I recall, it was in the evening, and then the elections were closed. In any case, then I regretted that I didn't find out sort of where he normally resides, but I felt bad not for one lost vote so much as for this man, because voting confers dignity. It says you are part of society.
Yeah.
It says you have a choice to make. You are part of our country. You're part of the community. Your voice matters. And I think when we tell people they can't vote, we're telling them, in effect, you don't matter. And I think that's why it's really you don't count, exactly. And that's why I think it's really important.
These people were so happy because they lived in my neighborhood, some of them, and they were like, "I got my registration card." They were like so happy about it, and I was like, "Good, you know."
Well, Helen, you're doing terrific work, and I really appreciate what you're doing. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Toll-free number, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. What about the other half of this equation? Should people who've served their time be allowed to get guns? Democrats actually say it's okay, but you have to go through a court hearing. It shouldn't be automatic. Republicans may think it should be automatic. Why is this what they care so much about? 888-488-MARK, right back after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. One last chance for you to call in if you want to at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We're talking about how Republicans and Democrats see people who've served their time. Democrats see them as possible members of the community, people who should join in, who should have the right to vote, who should have a good way to get back in the community, to learn a job, to get education, to learn a trade, to rejoin the community after serving their time. But we think that it shouldn't be easy for them to be armed, because they've shown in the past they are a danger to the community. And we don't think them holding a gun is necessarily a good thing for the community, particularly if they've committed a gun crime. Conservatives, exactly the opposite. They don't want them to have access to vote, because I think they're afraid they're going to vote for Democrats. They don't want them to have easy access to a job. And again, an employer can ask the question whether someone's a felon or not and evaluate it. But Democrats want to give them a chance to appear before that employer. Republicans want them, employers, to be able to weed them out and never hire them. And I think it's because Republicans don't really care about them as individuals, as people who have a right to be part of our society. Why then do conservatives want to arm them? Again, federal law prohibits felons from buying guns, but it doesn't prohibit people from selling guns to felons. If you are a licensed dealer and you at a gun store, there is a prohibition. You have to run a background check. And if someone fails a background check, you can't sell them a gun. But in so-called private sales, which is really every sale by anyone but a licensed firearms dealer, sales in back alleys, sales over the internet, sales to terrorists, sales to people who are mentally ill, even just giving a gun to a friend who you know has committed a crime. Well, if you don't know they've committed a crime, it's legal. And most of us don't know. Frankly, if you do know, you shouldn't be giving them a gun. But you should want to know. That's why I proposed a bill to have background checks. So why don't conservatives support background checks? I don't think it's on behalf of the felon. I don't think Republicans truly want felons to commit crimes. I don't think they're that evil. I just think that they see themselves not as the buyer, but as the seller. They want to be able to sell a felon a gun because they have lots of guns and they may want to sell them and they don't want to be restricted by who they can sell them to. And for the gun seller, well, they make a profit. It's good for the gun seller. It's bad for the victim of the gun buyer. If the ex-felon buys a gun and then shoots up a convenience store, it's certainly bad for the people in the convenience store or the Newtown School or the Orlando nightclub or the Charleston Church or the Colorado Theater. But for the gun seller, no liability whatsoever. And Republicans want it that way. Because if you only care about yourself, and you don't care about your community, and you don't care how many dead children in a preschool, but you want to make a profit on your guns, then, as a conservative, you would want that to be legal. But you don't want the ex-felon to vote because, well, they might vote for somebody else. Julian in California on line one. Hey, Julian, how are you?
Hey, doing great.
Thanks for calling in.
Is that you, Mark?
It is me. You're on the air.
Okay. Hey, look. This may be a little bit off topic, but I love the way that you have linked up these various aspects and got right into the conservative mindset on guns and so on. I wanted to ask you something about voting. Mm-hmm. We're going to be coming back to vote in Alexandria, in deep mm-hmm. blue Alexandria. But we were just wondering, what happens if we go to our polling station and the Trump supporters have taken him at his word and have turned up from other parts of the state with their AR-15s or whatever, and to act as what he likes to call voting monitors?
It's a good question, and it's a scary question. So, Virginia law does allow, and they must be chosen by the party. If you are officially chosen by your party, they allow one Democrat and one Republican, and I guess one Libertarian, although I haven't seen them, to come in and monitor the voting. I've actually done this before. And the way you do it is you get the head, in this case, of the Alexandria Democratic Party, signs a little note that says, hey, Mark Levine is our official voting monitor. And the Republican chair in Alexandria can do the same. And you can go into the voting place. But, number one, you can't be armed. Number two, you really can't say much. You can't stand in the way of a voter. You certainly can't politic. Really, the only thing I ever did was check the tape to make sure that it starts at zero. And also, I would report back to the Democratic Party, hey, 40% of the people have voted as of 12 noon. You know, we need to work our voting efforts up, things like that. What Trump is talking about is, I think, different from that. He's talking about voter intimidation. He's talking about people, yeah, particularly with guns, which is very scary. And if he were to send, for example, a bunch of Republicans out to heavily minority districts, for example, let's say that he only sent people to not just Blue Alexandria, but let's say precincts that were heavily African-American, and did that, yeah, with people with guns to intimidate people, that would actually be against the law. There's a consent decree, a federal consent decree between the Department of Justice and the Republican Party, because they have a history of trying to intimidate minority voters. And Republicans can send voter monitors out to everybody if they want, but they can't target people based on their race or ethnicity. So if they do that, that's against the law, and they can go to jail for that. I think the answer is, the other thing is that if you see someone with a gun near your voting booth, I think you should call the police. You have a right to carry in Virginia, but you don't have a right to intimidate someone from the right to vote. And if I saw someone carrying a gun that wasn't a police officer, armed, or a security guard in my voting place in Virginia, I'd call the police and get them out of there. Thanks for your call, Julian. Thank you, everyone, for your calls. We'll be back on Wednesday with more of the Inside Scoop.